trying to get rid of your worst mental habits is, itself, one of your worst mental habits. I'm Michael Joel Hall, and this is Ashtanga Tech. Patanjali has a word for the tangles the mind ties itself into. He calls them the kleshas, five of them, and the first thing worth saying is what they are not. They're not sins. They're not character flaws you were born with and have to spend a lifetime scrubbing off. They're structural. They're just how a mind works when it's convinced it's separate from everything else. See them clearly and they loosen their grip. That's the whole move, not war, recognition. So let me walk you through the five, in plain language, because the Sanskrit can make them sound loftier than they are. The root one is avidya. It gets translated as ignorance, but that makes it sound like you failed a test. It's more like misseeing. You take the thing that's passing for something permanent. You take the thing that's going to hurt for something that'll make you happy. You look at the whole moving weather of your body and mind and you call it me. Fixed and solid. Avidya is wearing smudged glasses and forgetting you've got them on. It's not that you're stupid. It's that the smudge is so constant you stop noticing it was there. Out of that root, four more grow. The first is a smitta, the imaka, the reflex that says me, mine, my thing. Useful when you're buying groceries and need to know which cart is yours. A problem when it fuses to everything when your whole sense of who you are gets welded to a role, a mood, an opinion. That's the person who can't take feedback on their work because they can't tell the difference between this draft has a flaw, and I am a flaw. Then there's raga, grasping, the quiet voice that says, I'll finally be okay once I get this, or keep this, or hold on to this. Pleasure isn't the problem here. Enjoying things is fine. The problem is the clinging. The way raga takes a genuinely sweet moment and turns it into a contract. Now you need it to stay. Now you're anxious about losing it. You took something that was free and you put a lien on it. Raga has a twin. And the twin is dvesha, pushing away. Anything but this. You hit a sensation you don't like, an experience you didn't order, and the whole system tightens against it. And here's the cruel little joke of dvesha. The tightening usually makes the thing bigger. You brace against discomfort and the bracing becomes most of the discomfort, and underneath all of it sits the fifth one, abhinivesha, the deep flinch, the fear of loss, the fear of ending, the primal grip on staying here. Patanjali says even the wise feel this one. It doesn't announce itself as fear of death. It shows up wearing ordinary clothes, as the need to control everything, as the planning of every contingency, as the low background ache to hold life still so nothing can be taken. Now, I said these aren't flaws, and I mean it. Watch how they actually run. You're scrolling at midnight, and the mind insists, one more thing and I'll finally relax. That's avidya feeding raga, misseeing the fix, then grasping at it. Someone gives you honest feedback, and you bristle before they've finished the sentence because the feedback threatens the identity of being the competent one. That's a smitta and dvesha working together. You lie awake planning for problems that haven't happened. Not out of wisdom but out of the sense that life is fundamentally unholdable. That's abhinivesha. Right down in the basement. None of that makes you broken. It makes you a person. The point was never to feel bad about it. The point is to see it. And Patanjali hints that these five don't all live at the same depth. Two of them, the misseeing and the imaka, sit up in your thinking, in how you interpret things. Two of them, the grasping and the pushing away, sit lower, in the emotions, in the pull and the shove of like and don't like. And the last one, the fear, sits lowest of all, down in the instincts, below where words reach. That's worth knowing, because it tells you why you can't just think your way out of the deep ones. You can reason with misseeing. You cannot reason with a primal flinch. The lower ones you have to work with through the body and the breath, not the argument. That's part of why yoga bothers with postures and breathing at all. Some of these knots are tied below the level of thought. There's one more distinction, and it's the difference between a klesha that's actively running your behavior right now, and one that's just sitting there dormant. Patanjali says practice can turn an active one into a seed. It may still show up, but without the propulsive force behind it. You'll still notice the flash of irritation, the flicker of wanting. It just won't grab the wheel. It's visible, but it's no longer in charge. That's a realistic picture of progress, by the way, not a life with no kleshas, a life where they've been turned back into seeds, present, seen, and quiet. So what does yoga actually do to these things? It's gentler than you'd expect. It doesn't declare war on your psychology. It retrains attention and it settles the nervous system, And as those two things happen, the cleshers lose their bite. Ethics, the way you treat people, the way you talk to yourself starves the drama that Raga and Visha feed on. Asana, done honestly, teaches the body that a neutral sensation isn't an emergency, so it stops broadcasting danger about nothing. Breath work smooths the inner weather, and clear breathing quietly undercuts both the panic and the craving. And the inward limbs, concentration, meditation give you a taste of just being, a few seconds of existence that isn't defined by the next passing thought. That taste is what loosens the imagga. That taste is what starts to clean the smudge off the glasses. Patanjali is a realist about this, which I appreciate. He says even when one of these veils fades, the seed of it is still in there, and under enough stress it can sprout again. So this isn't a graduation. You don't finish the kleshas. When you notice the old pattern stirring, and you will, you just turn back toward clarity. A longer exhale, a quiet word to yourself, a check-in with someone you trust. Any honest means will do. Here's the practice, and it's smaller than you think. Pick one. I'd start with raga, grasping, because it's the easiest to catch. For 1 week, every time you notice yourself clinging to an outcome, a thing, a good feeling you want to keep, just name it, silently. Raga, that's it. No fixing, no lecture, just the naming. Watch what happens to its grip, because something strange happens when you name one of these clearly. The naming creates a tiny gap between you and the pattern, and in that gap, for a second, you're not the pattern anymore. You're the thing that noticed it. That gap is the entire practice. Everything else is just widening it. And if you want a map for this, a way to look at your own last argument, your own last sleepless night, and actually see which of the five were running the show, that's the kind of work that goes deeper inside the membership at Ashtanga Tech. Not to fix you. There's nothing to fix. Just to help you see the smudge you've been looking through your whole life. That, it turns out, is most of the work.